If you're looking to boost your communication skills, build better habits, and connect with people on a different level, then the podcast is for you. It's a place where connection and communication meet coaching. I'm your host, Podge, a seasoned expert in health, leadership, and psychology. Each week, we'll dive into topics related to health with a keen focus on the art of building meaningful relationships through insightful interviews and practical advice. I believe that everyone has a great story to tell, and by learning from each other, we can not only enhance our own lives, but also strengthen our communities and how we connect with others. So I invite you to join me on this journey of connection and growth. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to Podcast Episode 6, Embracing Discomfort. However, when I was in the wedding in Rome and going around seeing so many beautiful sights, the whole thing with the Romans is absolutely fascinating to me. They have fantastic buildings, unbelievable architecture, unbelievable statues. I visited the Colosseum, the Roman Forum as well, like really, really like old stuff. And at the same time, I'm reading a book by Adam Grant called Hidden Talents, and one of the chapters actually talks about discomfort and embracing discomfort, which is our topic today. Okay, here's my segue. Here it goes. Let me know if it works or not. But the Roman Empire, like the buildings and everything, look so beautiful. But then I couldn't help think that there had to have been a lot of discomfort or a lot of suffering in order for those buildings to be made, but in order for that civilization to exist in general. So that was I got a few claps. So I'm hoping that that's not a sarcastic clap going, oh my God, terrible tangent. But it just got me thinking about discomfort. And that's something I want to talk about today, is discomfort in, not specifically to the Roman Empire. I would not have enough material to speak on that, but more about discomfort in our own lives and how we do experience discomfort. Maybe we're trying to avoid it, which a lot of us would naturally do anyway. So we all know that feeling, right? Like you feel challenged by something, you might feel stressed by something, or something might just feel a bit alien or foreign to you. So discomfort doesn't have to just be physical. It can be psychological and emotional as well. So we naturally do tend to avoid discomfort. It's really because our brains are wired to seek safety and ease that way. Patrick, welcome. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, very well.
Very good. What are you thinking about our topic on discomfort so far?
I'm just listening in. I'm just joined. So you're just saying something about Rome. So I was just listening in.
I was trying to make kind of a segue, like talking about how the Roman architecture, the buildings and everything, like I thought were mind-blowing, like incredibly beautiful. And then my really bad segue was that there must have been a lot of discomfort
to go into
making something so beautiful. You know, there has to be some suffering or discomfort that goes into it, but
hence the term Rome wasn't built in a day, right?
Patrick, why did I not think about putting that in? Thank you so much. that's actually brilliant. I really missed the trick with that one,
but you appreciate you.
I really appreciate you coming in and adding that on to this talk. That's brilliant. That made my morning or my afternoon. Thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to add regarding either the Romans or discomfort?
No, not really.
Awesome.
No, just listening in for now.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. You're cracking me up. I'm trying to hold back the laughter and proceed on with what I have organized. Thank you so much, Patrick.
No worries.
All right, we'll chat to you soon. Take care. Oh, that was absolutely brilliant. This platform is just so much fun. I can tell you, I'm really, really enjoying these talks. And thank you so much, Patrick, for one, showing me up, but two, providing me with wonderful material that we can use going forward as well. We actually have Coach Ashley coming into the room now as well. Coach Ashley, welcome. It is fantastic to have you this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a little chaotic in my house, so I apologize if you hear crying children right now. But I actually studied in Rome and I took an art history course there, and it was absolutely incredible to like witness the antiquity and how it's just like integrated so seamlessly within the city. And so I hear where you're coming from with the magic of that, and also the discomfort and The Rome was built in the day, definitely made it all come together.
That's an unbelievable experience, Ashley. How long were you there for?
It was just a few weeks. It was like a January term. So it was just one course. But it was beautiful. Pretty incredible. So I was like lucky. I had like this really cool apartment, you know, I played like house for a couple weeks. Like I was a European or something, but
yeah, you got the proper, like we did stay in an Airbnb, and it actually, I think, made it that extra bit special for us as well. It was really authentic, really nice.
Yeah. And you get like, yeah, that neighborhood feel. And so then you got to like get on the train, the subway, and you know, you have to commute to class and things like that, that, you know, you don't get much these days since everything is going all virtual and
right.
It was just really cool.
How were the classes? I'm intrigued by that. That's so interesting.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was just one art history course, and so it just happened like there was 3 weeks in Rome, and then one in went to Florence and Naples and Sorrento. Oh my gosh!
Oh, I'm, like, drawing beautiful.
But yeah, so it was just really cool.
Yeah, I always, Italy, for me in general, I could go there. I'm a big tourist, like I do like to have plans, but Italy is like the one place I can go and just have no plans, just walk. Like Rome particular is beautiful for just walking and observing kind of sights and culture. It's really fantastic.
Yeah, no matter where you go in Italy is awesome. I, back in the day, was a big backpacker. And so I was always on trains and whatever.
You'll have to do. I can't give you claps here. I wish I had the clap version for myself. But you'll have to do a talk around kind of your adventures. That would be really cool. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty good idea, and what I learned through that, because there's definitely a lot of insight when you put yourself in to that situation. I think one of the main things about traveling is people don't recognize how much downtime there is. You know, if you're on these trains for like 6 hours, you have no Wi-Fi, you're just kind of there with your thoughts, and you have to really, like, you know, stay organized and present in the moment. So, but in terms of your topic on discomfort, this is a pretty huge topic. And I think it makes me think of people pleasing. And so a lot of times people don't like to make other people uncomfortable. So they,
Ashley, you have run out of time, but please feel free to jump back in and just finish out that thought. Thank you so much. Ashley is joining in 1 second.
Oh, all right, gosh, back. Sorry. I didn't realize I was almost out of time.
Okay.
But I'm not sure where I cut off, but it just gets me thinking about people pleasing and how people compromise their own comfort levels so that other people aren't uncomfortable. Not sure that I'm saying that in a proper way, but learning how to recognize that cycle of people pleasing in your life can help you embrace the discomfort in the moment. And maybe you're not going to always show up for someone in a way that they expect you to, but you're showing up for yourself, and that's what matters.
Do you feel like the traveling directly helped you like with that people pleasing aspect?
I am not a people pleaser, so I don't actually recognize these cycles within myself, but just that the concept of embracing discomfort and a lot of the work that I do, I see people compromising their own needs and their own comfort for other people, which, you know, it seems like a great idea and it seems selfless, but that drains you. And, you know, if you want to like create sustainable change and just well-being for yourself, you have to embrace that not everybody's going to be happy with you all the time.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And when we do dive a bit more into the topic of discomfort, we will chat about, it's not necessarily a personality trait alone. It can be a character trait as well. And character traits can be developed, right? So discomfort, or it's actually something you can work on, because when you were describing the people pleasing, like I think we've all been there at one point or another where we've maybe done something that is done to avoid discomfort or conflict, but it mightn't necessarily be the best thing for us. And it kind of leaves you with, I don't know, is the feeling for me maybe like it's almost like a confidence hit. Do you know, you're not staying true to like your character, your beliefs in that instance either.
Yeah, I mean, you're compromising your intuition for the comfort of somebody else. And, you know, maybe conflict is a better word for what the point of people pleasing is, I guess. But anyway, that's just my two cents. I can't wait to keep listening. Thanks for such a great talk.
thanks so much, Ashley. I appreciate you tuning in. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, talk to you soon. All right, it is amazing to hear from the wonderful coach Ashley there. And as always, feel free if anyone does want to jump in. I'm trying to think of, we spoke about with the people pleasing, there was discomfort. The word is conflict. It was eluding me for a second there. I guess a lot of them can be muddled in together in terms of the people pleasing. The conflict is probably not wanting to go against, or maybe stand up is the incorrect word, but kind of go against someone. But the discomfort part for me there is like the growth area. You know, if we were able to be comfortable in conflict, like that's making us uncomfortable, and that kind of, that's where we might grow as an individual or a person as well. Just digressing back to our topic of discomfort, I think we've all been there, right, where our brains are wired to seek safety and to seek ease. That's why relaxing on the couch to watch Netflix feels so good. It's maybe why scrolling on your phone is easier than going to the gym or going for a walk. It's why you might put off a really difficult task at work. There is a quote in Adam Grant's book from Helen Keller, and I'm going to read it out to you now. It's, "Character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, ambition inspired, and success achieved." So these words remind us that true growth and development of character aren't forged in comfort, but they're more forged through the fires of challenges and discomfort. So if I'm thinking of Ashley, not to say that she was an incredible discomfort in going to Rome, it was a fantastic experience, but those long train rides, a lot of time isolated and alone, like that is not easy. And that is a form of discomfort. Traveling to a foreign country to study is daunting, a different language. Ashley, I never asked, actually, are you fluent in Italian? Maybe you were. But all those things are uncomfortable, but all those things are essential for growth and development. And Ashley mentioned the opposite, that with maybe like Zoom platforms now, like maybe someone now doesn't have the chance that Ashley had to be able to do that, you know. And I think that's really important to go into those situations and be uncomfortable, to be able to grow and develop. Coach Doris, welcome to the chat. How are you?
Good morning or good afternoon, Podge.
Good morning / afternoon / night.
Yes, I know. It's always funny. But what was I going to tell you? As I'm here sitting, working and listening to you and Ashley, actually, you know, being from Europe myself, I've traveled to Italy quite a bit. But what I was going to tell you in regards to embracing discomfort, I think, and the passage you just read from the book, I thought was just beautiful and hit it nail on, right? Mm-hmm. Embracing discomfort is also when we, I think, grow the most, when we go beyond of what we think we are capable of doing, and we just face the uncertainty sometimes or the unknown. I, for instance, when I was 18, I packed a suitcase. I had $100 US dollars, and I came to the US as a nanny, not knowing anybody except for who I was going to work. And that was through snail mail way before the days of internet.
Wow. That is fascinating. Talk about like putting yourself in an uncomfortable situation. And like you said, there's so many unknowns with that, Doris, as well.
Yeah. So, and I like to use that sometimes when it's fitting in coaching as well, right? Embracing the discomfort, the unknown, stepping into yourself and what you're capable of doing and how far can I push myself. we are such strong human beings. I think we underestimate sometimes of what we really are capable of doing.
Yeah, I fully agree. I'm curious with, you can go into as much depth as you like, but with that like amazing story, what were the growth areas for you in that instance? Like, what did you learn about yourself?
When I came to the US as a young girl, so to say, what did I learn? I think I have to add to this, I was a lot less fearful. Yeah, fearful is the word. I was a lot less fearful in my younger days than what I am today. So today's age, if I had a daughter at 18, I don't know how I felt if she did that, right? The world was also a smaller place. We didn't have internet and media bombarding us with news 24/7, right? So I was a lot more, and mind you, I come from small town Austria, you know, very sheltered from a lot in those days. And so I think I came and...
Doris, you just ran out of time there. For those who have attended my talks frequently, no one has called me out yet that I'm supposed to extend that from, is it a 3 minute to a 5 minute? But I promise this will be the last talk. They'll be longer after this. All right, Doris, welcome back.
Thank you. So yes, what did I learn from coming to the US at 18? I think I really learned of what I was capable of doing, that I can do this on my own, right? That persistency and determination really goes a long way. Taking care of yourself and not having anyone to fall back on and relying on. Because again, in those days, if I needed something from my parents, it was a phone call. There was not an instant FaceTime, mom, help me, or sell me some money, or whatever it might be, right? If I fell on my face, I had to pick myself up and get myself back on. Of course, in an emergency, my family would have been there. But for everyday life, I was really left to my own to figure things out. And I did. And I hit my head plenty of times with plenty of circumstances. And I thought I knew English when I came to this country. Well, I grew up with the British English from elementary school on, but only in school did we use it. We didn't use it in every day. So when I came to the US thinking, oh, I got this. And then, Americans, their English is so different than the British English in a way. It took me quite a while to catch on to the language. I think that was the biggest challenge I had was, we speak so much faster in this country, or at least for me, it seems. So it took me quite a while to figure things out with the language, so to say, even though I knew English. But everything else was just do and learn, so to say, if that makes, you know.
Doris, was there like an alternate universe? And is there a time where you could have not packed up and left? You could have stayed in Austria. Was that an option?
So I was here for 2 years before I went back the first time. And I could have stayed back at home, back in Austria again. But I don't know. I just always had that. And maybe it's because we grew up traveling a lot with my family. So always the itch of what's next. Where else can I go? What can I do? And I really liked Florida. I started school. I went back to school actually here in the US at that time too, to get out and meet other people from besides working as a nanny, as a live-in, so to say. So yeah, there was a time where I could have gone back, but I don't think it was enough of a urge, so to say.
Yeah, and I think that's a testament. I know we have 5 seconds. Feel free if you want to jump back in to speak more. We'd love to hear from you. But as you are speaking, it feels like that there was a possibility that you could have remained in your comfort zone. You know, you could have stayed in Austria where everything is familiar to you, where everything maybe is a little bit easier to you. We have Doris coming back into the chat. I do see that we have one other. So I know Seema is waiting in the chat as well. So straight after Dara, Seema, I'll get you in here too. Thank you so much for joining.
So what was your question?
It wasn't necessarily a question. It was more just an observation that, like, you could have, and this happens so much in our lives, that we could choose to remain in our comfort zone, like, yeah, where everything is familiar and maybe a little bit easier to us, versus stepping into the unknown or the uncomfortable. But you seem to have a real energy about you to want to step in. So as you were speaking, there was, like, to name a few, you left Austria for the US was a big form of discomfort. You had a language proficiency, but you really were dropped in it, and you had to learn quick then in terms of, like, developing the English language, which is actually interesting because in Adam Grant's book, he talks about two people who are language learning experts, and their advice is get into the culture. It's like, yeah, you can learn on a book all you like, but immerse yourself. And they basically say, like, make a fool of yourself. I don't know, that they'll say some silly things like, I think one person said, like, something like, I want a tractor for breakfast or something like that. And the person laughed at them, like they were trying to speak Italian or some other language. But they were saying you have to make those mistakes to be able to, like, excel your learning. And it kind of sounds like you went through some of that. Not to say you ordered a tractor when you were in a eating out or anything.
No, but who knows what I did. And English wasn't, like I said, I knew the language, I just had a hard time keeping up with everybody, right? It just was so fast to me, or at least to my ear. That took me a while to get used. But then also, I landed in South Florida. So I don't know how much you know about that, but South Florida is really the hub of South America, in my opinion. So there is a lot more Spanish than English, actually. And a lot of places you walk in, they don't even speak to you if you don't speak Spanish to them. So that was another challenge. So I picked up Spanish along the way as well.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's all growth. So I'm going to hop off. I know you have other people in line. So thank you so much for taking me up. And love this conversation. Keep at it, Potch. You're doing awesome.
Cheers, Doris. I really, really appreciate you jumping on. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Sorry to come across you. I actually have a thought that you when you mentioned about the Spanish, as we leave Seema in here now, sometimes your environment can help you with growth as well, right? And that discomfort, like, you probably mightn't have learned Spanish to the level you did. Seema, hello, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm not too bad. It's good to have you here in the chat.
Thank you for having me. I think I'll go with the Coach Doris, you know, because I myself also came to the country, the US, when I was really young, like, let's say 14. But I came here for studies. I'm from Afghanistan originally. But basically, when I first came, it was really discomforting because where I came from was I wore, like, a really tight scarf, and, you know, even going out was not something usual for us, and just going to school and coming back home in Afghanistan. So coming to the US was a huge shock, really, not just being in the US, but also the language and you know, different people and totally different culture. So yeah, it was a huge shock for me. So it was not only, I think embracing took time of this discomfort, but I felt like, you know, for me, it would be like, because I'm a very, like, a positive person. So anything that comes to me, I take it positively, even if it is negative. So at first the discomfort was for a long time, but later on I figure out, like, you know, these are the people, we're just human beings, and, you know, understanding took a while. Like, I didn't even know at a time just English, so I took courses, English classes. I was in I landed in Rhode Island but ended up in Boston for school, and then later on St. Louis, so currently in New York. But yeah, it was pretty cool. It's nice to be around.
So you made it sounds like you're someone who exudes or shows a growth mindset. I like what you said, that you remained positive. So although you were uncomfortable, like moving to a new country is extremely difficult, except especially if there's one with loads of cultural differences. But it sounds like you always had confidence in yourself that it would work out and that you'd be able to be able to live in the US comfortably.
Yes. So basically, at first, I was in shock, just like people. And actually, when I first landed, we ended up in the beach. Oh, wow. So it was like something.
All right, Seema, you've cut off, but feel free to join in again. We definitely want to hear more from you as well. So yeah, if you can click the guest button and come back in and finish your story. All right, Seema's joining back in. This is fascinating as well. I love hearing from people from all different cultures too. Seema, welcome back.
Yes, thank you, Coach Paul. So I was just saying, like, when I first came and I had ended up in a beach, it was just a really big shock for me, and I was really discomfortable. Like, I was just like, what is going on? What is why are these people like literally naked, almost naked? So it was like, why am I here? Like, I didn't understand, because the people who took us there were actually, we had I came as a scholarship, like on a scholarship. So it was pretty great. I'm very grateful for that. But at the time, I felt like I have to go back. So, but then later on, like, you know, my family didn't want me to come back. So, like, I was stuck, kind of, because they wanted me to, you know, educate and be educated and not just stay in Afghanistan. And, you know, I was in 10th grade and I wasn't allowed to go further in school. If I wouldn't have that decision, you know, I would be uneducated for now, and I would just be 10th pass. So coming here to the US and just graduating from school, and also, you know, just undergrad and going to completing my undergrad was just amazing. So yes, definitely, well, there was discomfort, but embracing that was through education and love and knowing new people and just becoming their family is just amazing.
Seema, thank you for this story. And it sounds like as well, you're getting on an important point. You mentioned there about, it sounded like your parents were encouraging you to seek an education, which is hard for them, right? Because it essentially means that you're moving across the world, but they understood kind of the necessity and the benefit it would have for you. And when it comes to growth and discomfort, I think having a supportive, and you mentioned the word loving, having a supportive and loving network around you is incredibly crucial, I think, to be able to succeed in times of discomfort.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's excellent. How, with the last 30 seconds, how is New York treating you?
New York is pretty brutal. But it's good. It's I'm having fun, and I'm working actually with the immigrants. So it's amazing. Everything is, I'm just giving it back. So it's amazing.
Yeah, that sounds like really, really powerful work. Seema, thank you so much. I really appreciate you jumping on and telling your story.
Thank you.
All right. I know I might have, for people who have been at chats with me previously, and one of my favorite things about working at Noom is the fact I got to meet, or I get to meet so many wonderful people with wonderful stories. And that's really why I love this platform as well. It's really expanding my horizons even more outside of Noom. And it's always great to hear everyone's individual and unique story. Kathy, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. And I turned on my phone at just the right moment.
Awesome. What moment was that?
A few moments before I realized that beautiful woman's parents said to her, it's not that we don't want you to come home, but don't come home.
Mm-hmm.
That making sense, good and bad, that being said, could it have been said to another individual with no words, no communication, just totally abandoning that individual? And then 59 and a half years later, I sit and say, wow, they didn't know how to get me educated and they wanted me to be smart. They let me go.
Katie, you kind of, the volume, the volume lulled kind of right at the end. Would you mind repeating like the last few sentences?
Oh, my apologies. Okay.
No problem.
Get back in the moment. I apologize.
Hey, you're fine. We can embrace the discomfort. It's all good.
Okay, so she was discussing that her parents said, you're beautiful. Go live, love, laugh, move on. Be you. We're here, but kind of in your own way, you stay away. Respectably so. And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a set of parents who know their child should be entitled. They know their child deserves, but their child is being mocked and mauled. And in certain fashions, I'm going to say the word Titanic and Boston Harbor. We're going to get out of that moment. They didn't know how to take care of me. And they, respectfully, I felt abandoned since the first moment. I'm going really deep with this one.
Hey, Katie, it sounds like, and please know, like, obviously you're the expert on your journey, but it sounds to me that you were kind of comparing your experience with Seema's and you're showing how maybe Seema's one was full of, I'm trying to think of words like support and even perhaps love, I could say as well. And it sounds like you're comparing the two environments between yourself and Seema. It seems like that's pretty relevant, like noticeable to you. And it's much more difficult to.
That's much a one on one.
Oh, you're out of time. If you do want to jump in, please do. But it sounds like to me that it's, you're comparing the environments in which you and Seema kind of grew up in, and one seems a lot more conducive to growth under discomfort, whereas the other one is a bit, there seems to be like more obstacles and more difficulties. So I really appreciate you coming in and sharing your story. And feel free, please know that when we do have these conversations, like I don't just exist in this live platform. I am a real human being, I can promise you. So you can drop me a DM at any time as well on Noom Vibe. I'm happy to continue a discussion, or if there's any live you want me to do with a particular topic, I'm happy to jump into that as well. So thank you, Katie. I appreciate you being open to being uncomfortable. I think that speaks testaments to you that you're able to come on this platform and share such experiences in your life. So thank you so much for that. I do have a question to pose to the group here, and you can think about this internally as well, but have you ever noticed that your biggest growth moments come from uncomfortable situations? It's something I've been thinking about. I can give examples going back really far in my life. Like I can go back to when I was 8 years old and played on a local soccer team. We lost every single game that year. And I don't mean just lost, like we got absolutely hockeyed, like 10 goals to zero type job, which as an 8-year-old kid, it is so hard to take that, you know, like constantly losing, constantly being beaten in a game. But the truth was at the time we were quite small. A lot of kids were a bit older than us as well. However, then the following year, we went on and we won all of our games and we won our local tournament, which to us was like winning the World Cup. It was so big. But it's not to say that, oh, it was the winning that did it. But when I look back in it now, I think it was the initial discomfort of losing all the games at the start the previous year. So what it actually did for us as a group is it actually made us become stronger characters, that we became comfortable in that discomfort. And I feel that even at a young age, I feel we were learning some key lessons there. Equally, when as I'm growing up, I originally did science teaching, so I can teach biology, physics and maths to secondary school kids. But what I found was the best way to improve there was not being in lectures. I promise I attended all my lectures. I did not miss them much. However, the best way to learn was through teaching practice, like being in front of students, actually teaching them a lesson. And oh, I still get the jitters, like how nervous and daunting and uncomfortable I was in that moment. But it really is the way best you can learn. Similarly, I went on to study nutrition and I forced myself to give nutrition talks in our community to get myself out of that comfort zone. And that really did help my learning. And I can use an example up to this very second doing this live talk here today. Incredibly daunting. I wish you could see my routine before coming on, but I'm like trying to calm down my breathing. I'm trying to make sure I have like a good sequence of stuff that I want to say. It is nerve-wracking. I'm sure Doris and Ashley, maybe you're more cool, calm and collect, but you might be able to agree to an extent. Or any of our guests coming on here, it's definitely not easy to speak and share your ideas, but I definitely want to do it in the pursuit of learning new things from our wonderful community. And it does also help me in terms of like my communication and my public speaking, which is personally an area that I want to try and grow into too. I think the key to all these stories and everything that was shared is that you really have to start before you're ready. Ashley could have said, you know what, I'm not going to go to Rome for that college. Or Doris could have said, I'm going to stay in Australia for another little while as well. Seema could have said, you know what, I'm going to get my education in Afghanistan. I'm not going to make that leap. But the longer you wait until you feel prepared, the slower the overall progress is going to be. So you don't need to get comfortable before you can practice your skills. Your comfort grows as you do practice your skills. I do want to just leave you with a few practical tips about embracing discomfort, and then we can just close out the conversation, just asking you to do a self-reflection. So how can we start embracing discomfort? You can begin by changing your mindset. So view discomfort not as a threat, but as a sign of potential growth. So start small. It could be trying a new food. It could be learning a basic skill in a new language. It could be taking a different route to work. Each small step out of your comfort zone is just going to be a leap towards your actual potential. Before we do close out, we do have one more guest jumping into the chat. Marty, how are you doing?
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are you?
I'm well. This is actually my first time on this forum. So,
welcome.
Since you were talking about embracing comfort, I had two thoughts to close out real quick. One that someone taught me a long time ago is something that kind of plays in my head is do it afraid, right? Usually when we have that discomfort, we're scared, you know, and it could be any kind of new thing. It could be, you know, something that, you know, has been bothering you for a while, or, you know, any kind of thing that, or something at work or a hobby, you know, anything. But the one thing that has allowed me to move forward is that phrase, do it afraid. You know, yeah, I know you're going to be scared, but just go for it. What's the worst that can happen, right? that's one thing. And the other thought that I had briefly is balance. I really think that is important because we have some folks in the world that love discomfort and love risk taking, and we have some that are absolutely super timid. But I think you have to find balance because sometimes you can go too far, right? In challenging yourself, right? And then you fall, right? But if you can find balance, I think that also helps. So those were my two thoughts on your subject.
Marty, one, welcome so much to the platform. It's brilliant to have you, and I love both of those bits of advice. If you do have an example about the where you use the "do it afraid" mantra, please feel free to jump in.
I was actually raised in the South, in Georgia, where it does not snow, right? Like if there's one flake of snow, everything is shut down, right? At one point in my life, I moved to Montana, and I was very nervous about snow because it snows there all the time, 90%, right? I had bought a vehicle, a new SUV, my mission in life was to get home before the snow, right? And as soon as I purchased it on the lot, the first flake of snow came down, and I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Like that.
I think you might have cut out, Marty, but that, yeah, I mean, I heard Montana weather Montana? Where did you say? Whoops. Oh, I don't know why I had Minnesota in my head, but I'm pretty sure that's not what you said, Marty. That is super chill. Okay, I can see you're coming right back into the chat, so you can solve this mystery for me.
Yes, it was Montana. Lived in Montana. So, yeah, I was terribly nervous to drive in the snow, but with this SUV I had never driven before. Definitely out of my comfort zone, and I lived quite a distance from the place that I purchased it. But, you know, I got in the car, I'm going to do it afraid. And of course I made it and I learned how to drive in snow. I'm not very good, but, but I overcame that fear and that discomfort.
I love the do it afraid, because I think so many times, like I definitely thinking from my sporting background, they're saying, don't be afraid, like go for it. But sometimes being aware of the fear and going for it, I think, is the sweet spot. Because to me, if you kind of like push it to the side or like don't acknowledge that you are afraid, it kind of becomes a bigger beast in a way. So I appreciate your story that you were like, yeah, like I'm afraid, it's a big SUV, it's terrible weather, but I'm doing it anyway.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Just one more thing about when you spoke about balance, there's a technique in teaching maybe, but when you're trying to teach a student, you don't want to go past something known as their zone of proximal development. So you don't want to teach them something so abstract that they don't have a Scooby-Doo what you're talking about. You want to keep it within like their level of learning, but a little bit extra to make them uncomfortable. And I think that's what you were getting at with the balance you mentioned about not going too far.
Exactly. Yes. I do think that you can push too far, or you can experience a lot of crazy things in your life. Trying to assess your risk, you know, and what you can do, but not overkill, right? And
yeah.
Just, you know, finding that middle ground where you do grow, but, you know, you're not throwing yourself off a cliff. I mean, unless that's your thing, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I understand what you mean too. And I think if there's a lot of Noom coaches in here today, they can definitely attest to, like, when they do help our Noomers create goals, they will make them, like, attainable too, do you know? And I think a lot of people, especially when it's health related, want to do all the things at once. And I think it's important, like you said, to like not go too far with it.
Thank you.
Marty, thank you so much. I really appreciate you jumping onto the platform, and hopefully we'll hear from you again.
We'll see. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye now. All right. We have one more person jumping in. Matt is on his way into the chat, but I love that. Do it afraid and make sure you're balanced. Thank you so much, Marty.
Hello.
Matt, hello, sir. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm calling from Adelaide, Australia.
Oh, brilliant. Welcome. It is good to have you from Adelaide, Australia. How are you doing? It's late for you?
It's a 9:30 p.m. over here.
Oh, unreal. Some easy nighttime listening for you.
Yes. Now, in terms of embracing discomfort, I have an extreme fear of heights.
Oh, no.
Which is hilarious because I'm 6 foot two.
you're constantly walking around afraid.
Not quite that bad, but if something's not entirely stable, I crack out.
Yeah, Matt, I wonder, can you be, yeah, like for me, cliff edges are a no-go.
Cliff edges, unless I'm behind a fairly decent fence or barrier of some kind, I don't do it.
Yeah.
There's at the State Museum in town, in our city, we have there's a giant squid exhibit.
Okay.
And you can actually look down at it from above. There's a 20 centimeter piece of plate glass. So you can actually look down on this giant squid from above. And my friends are just walking on this thing like nobody's business. And it took me 20 minutes to pluck up the courage to actually walk out on this thing.
I'm actually, my heart is starting to pound for you now. I can feel that situation so much. It's like it's
5 stories tall.
Oh,
and this is, and he looks straight down through this piece of glass, and it's a decent drop.
Yeah, it's
and enough. I'm looking at this. Sorry.
I said it's enough to get your heart rate going for sure.
Well, my heart rate was just off the charts, and as I said, it took me 20 minutes to actually pluck up the courage to actually walk out onto this thing.
Would you mind sharing? Like, I know what my internal narrative is during that time, but do you have are you going back and forth with yourself, going, "Come on, Matt, you can do it," versus "I'm not going near that thing"?
Yeah. Do you mind if I come back?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, geez, time is flying. Yeah, of course. Please join back in.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, that sounds good. Oh, I'm just getting. It reminds me of for my friends in the States, the Sears Tower, which is, I believe, what's it called now? The Willis Tower. Oh, that's what that's reminding me of. Scary stuff.
Now you see, I went almost to the top of the Empire State Building, and I'm looking down from the top of this thing, and I'm going, I'm fine with that, because I know it's stable.
Yeah,
and I had fences all the way around.
Yeah, but it's so more.
It's more about the stability and protection from falling off than anything. Whereas the roof of my parents' house was a little bit flimsy, so I could never get up there. Even though it was one story.
How did you feel after doing it? Like after the 20 minutes when you plucked up the courage?
Oh, million bucks! But it's just.
Oh my god, that is reckless. Yeah, if you went back now, though, would you is it something you'd still like? Presume the fear of heights you'll carry with you.
Oh, it's still with me today. Not as bad, but it's still there.
Are you good flying, Matt?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I was in a plane. Well, over water I can get a little hairy.
Right.
Get a little hairy over water. In terms of in a plane, I visited the States a while back, 2016, and went from Brisbane to LA straight.
Wow, geez, that's some journey.
And so the fear of heights was, in the back of the head for the whole journey.
Oh man, I can only imagine that.
So. Because we're over water, and it's like my brain can't grip the plausibility of ditching in water.
Yeah, You sound like my kindred scared of heights spirit, Matt. I can relate to a lot of what you're saying.
Other embracing discomfort is my constant emotional and mental pain.
Yeah, but fair play to you though. You seem to find like the courage and ability to be able to do it is what it sounds like from the examples you're giving me.
Oh yes. There's a lot of stoicism and resilience and all that sort of stuff. I'll come back if that's all right.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that seems to be a testament to your character as well. Do you know, I can almost, you're kind of giving us a view into your thought process as you're thinking through those. I can picture you in those scenarios and I can picture your narratives to yourself, you know, and overcoming them. All right, we'll have Matt joining in one last time. Thank you so much, everyone, by the way, for hopping on. We've had multiple guests and it's really warming my heart. It is great to see.
Yes, I've had a very dark past. It's only the things that have happened to me have only helped to strengthen my resolve over time.
Yeah, it sounds your character. Do you feel your character is quite strong when it comes to embracing discomfort? I know it's the topic of the conversation, but it might not be right for this specific conversation. But
I wouldn't go any further than what I've gone for, what I've already mentioned. But can I just say I love your accent?
right back at you, Matt. It's the exact same. I think your accent's very cool.
But I've been told I can do a very good Irish accent.
I mean, you can give it a go. I think we can leave the people.
Well, I don't know. I've been told it's very good.
Go on. You'll give us a go, will you?
All right. I've been told it's very good.
you actually sound like my cousin, which is kind of very funny, but also extremely disturbing.
All right.
All right. Yeah, let's give Matt plenty of claps because I'm actually liking his accent. You kind of sound a bit like you're from Cork, which is next door to where I'm from.
Cork. Oh, yeah. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Can you say Cork boy? Say that in an Irish accent.
Cork boy.
Oh, there you go. Now you're a local. The passport will be on its way over to you, Matt.
Absolutely fantastic.
Oh, geez. Yeah, you have it down, in fairness to you. I'll have to practice my...
Then you've got a bit of the South African, a bit of the Afrikaans.
I wonder if there any South Africans here who can attest to that one.
A bit of the Afrikaans, a bit of that. then they've got, the Indian, I can do the South Indian accent very well.
Matt, you're a man of you're a man of many talents, I see.
Oh, you know Stewie from Family Guy?
Go on, give us one Stewie.
Yes, Brian. You're the cool whip.
Okay, that's actually... No, it's cool whip, Matt.
Cool whip. No,
what are you saying?
Yes, Brian, you're the cool whip.
Why are you saying it like that? It's cool whip.
It's a cool whip. Cool whip.
Oh, brilliant.
Say cool. Say whip. Whip. Cool whip. Cool whip.
Cool whip. For those of you who don't watch Family Guy, I was just like quoting a skit with Matt. I wasn't actually trying to correct him on the way he says whip versus whip. It's actually cool. It's a really funny part of that show.
They got Andrew Figureforth into the mighty shiver, and I wish you the mighty cheater when I got 110 kilometers per hour. And I just way too fast for our cameras to pick up.
Matt, this is the comic relief I needed before I jump into my first meeting of the day. So thank you so much, sir. I appreciate you coming on.
Right.
Take care. Join back in for some more Matt mimicking all different languages and whatnot. I do have to, Matt, I see you're trying to join in again, but I do have to finish up. Sadly, I have to get to work for myself, but feel free to join any other future talks. Just in closing, I do want to encourage everyone to take a moment, either now or later today, just to jot down a few of your most challenging moments, reflect on how they might have changed you, and maybe what strengths you discovered in yourself as well along the way, and how your ambitions were shaped by these experiences. I think that recognizing these moments can just help us appreciate our our past trials, but also help us prepare for the future in terms of our discomfort and being able to deal with it with confidence. Thank you so much, folks. I really, really appreciate your time. Feel free to drop me a DM or continue this chat. I'm more than happy to, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. And for Matt and those in Australia, I hope that you have a good night as well. All right, take care. Mind yourself.